take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. The third chapter of the book of Ephesians. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 13 of the third chapter. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again thanking you for your marvelous grace. Thank you for your goodness to us. And once again, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, that I would be able to just manifest the name of Christ this morning. And Lord, let all of us realize how important you are and how wonderful you are and how good you are. And Lord, we just need to know you, not only as Savior, but we just need to know you better every day of our life. Now, you help these services, Father. You take over, you work, you deal. And Father, you do what needs to be done in all of our hearts. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Right before I begin to preach, I'd just like to mention once again to us about the importance of our services, the importance of being very quiet, importance of not causing commotion in our services, not to be talking to neighbors while services are going on. Things like that are important to the preacher and important to the rest of the people in the church. It's important that you do that. It's right and proper. As I've told you before, try to take care of those bathroom breaks before the preaching starts. That's very important, you know, if all possible. I know emergencies happen. I know those things. And we want you here. We're glad you're here. But just for the next little while, just pay attention to the preacher, okay? Just listen to the message that God has. And then after that, you can just talk and talk. And, you know, on the way home or whatever you want to do, talk after church, go out on the step there and talk. That's fine. But while preaching's going on, don't cause a commotion. Amen. Wouldn't that be right and proper? That'd be good. And I want you to do that because let me just share something with you. Someone mentioned to me the other day, said they were so disturbed in our services, they couldn't even get anything out of it because of the people sitting around them were just causing all kind of commotion. That ought not to be. Amen. And that's not right. Not right for any of us. So let's just do right. Amen. We'll have our preaching done here in a little while, and we'll hear from the Lord. I know what I've got this morning is from Him. That's all I know. See, I know that. And so if it's from Him, it's important what we hear. Amen. And that we hear it well. So I appreciate that. I'm going to preach from basically the 17th verse of Ephesians, the third chapter. I'll reread that to us, and it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, throughout the Bible, the Apostle Paul knew well that Christ lived in those who were believers. And when we preached on Wednesday night in Ephesians, and come to this portion of Scripture, we dealt with this somewhat. I don't know how much we dealt with it, but He's not just talking about the fact that you're a Christian and Christ is going to dwell in you. It goes much deeper than that. He's talking to a people whom Christ was already living in. And so he comes to them and he says that he wants Christ to dwell in their hearts by faith. He wants Christ to dwell, you see. He prays, he asks God to help them that already know, already have Christ living in them, that Christ would be able to dwell in them. Now that word dwell speaks of abide. It means settle down. It means to be at home. And there's a difference between Him living in us and being at home in us. We find, and of course, as I said, Paul was well aware that everybody who knew Christ, who had been saved, his Spirit of Christ was living in them. He understood that. He knew that. But it means that Christ would be able to make a dwelling place, to take up the abode in Him, and to establish a home. Now, this is important, I believe, this morning, if you'll just let me have your attention for a little while, about Christ dwelling in us. You see, there's no doubt the Bible says when we get saved that our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. God lives in us. But He also wants to dwell in us, take up not just residence in there, but He wants to feel at home with us and settle down and make it His home. And there's a difference. And we're going to use some illustrations this morning and talk about this and how that it's so important that Jesus Christ certainly comes and lives in us. And let me say to you, first of all, I would like for you this morning to kind of think about this. If you're a Christian, I want you to think about it as a fact that you're a house and you've invited Jesus Christ to come and live in your house. Amen. And you see, to be a Christian, that's what you must do first. If to be a Christian, you must warmly, gladly receive Jesus Christ, and we can call it a house or we can call it a heart. We must receive Jesus Christ warmly and gladly into our heart. Amen. We must do that, you see. And over in John, the first chapter, he talked about, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Receive Him. There has to be a reception time. There has to be a time when you have received Him. We'll use the word guest in your house. You've invited Him in to your house. Now, I'm going to take you over to the book of Luke, the 19th chapter, for just a moment or two. 19th chapter of Luke. Show you a couple verses. Fifth verse. And of course, this is the story of Zacchaeus. We sing about little Zacchaeus, the short little wee man, climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm just going to read verse 5 and verse 6, and he says, and when Jesus came to the place, now this is where Zacchaeus was up in the sycamore tree, he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. We find Zacchaeus here. Jesus says, I want to come to your house today. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus received him joyfully. In other words, he received him as a guest to come to his house. Invited him to his house to come and be there and right in his house and partake of whatever he had. Now, that's what God's talking about when he's talking about salvation. He's talking about that as many as receive him. We need to receive Jesus Christ. We need to welcome him into our heart for salvation. We need to invite him into our life. Amen. There must be a time in our life when we've said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. I'm the sinner you say I am. And I want to ask you to save me. And in fact, that's what happens, comes into our heart to live. Amen. He comes in to live in us. So that's the first thing we must do. He must be invited in. He doesn't come in where he's not wanted. Amen. If you went to somebody's house and you knocked on the door and they opened the door and they said, we don't want you here. You get out of here. We don't want you here. Would you want to go in? Well, I don't think I would. And Jesus doesn't either. He waits for those to invite him into their heart, into their house. Amen. So we've got that kind of behind us. We know that we get saved that way. But what happens after that? What's he talking about when he talks about that Christ wants to dwell? He wants to make his abode. He wants to settle down. I mean, he wants to make it his home. No doubt he lives in us, but not only that, we also know that if Christ comes into our house, he must be welcome in every room of our house. You see, you're not dealing just with a guest that you're inviting in. You're dealing with the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And you've invited him in to your heart. You've said, come on in, I want salvation. I'm going to receive you as my personal Savior. See, he must have freedom to go down through the halls of your life. He must be invited into where you live, into the living room. He must be even invited in to the bedroom. He must be invited into your library. He must be invited into that room where you relax and enjoy yourself. He must be invited onto your front porch and your back porch. He must be invited into every single area of your life. This is the Lord of Lords, the Kings of Kings who we have invited in. There cannot be any doors marked private. No, we've invited him in to all of our life. There must not be any locks on any of the doors. Amen? And we must not ever put up a do not disturb sign. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. And he, when we invite him in, we invite him into every area of our life. We don't put up any keep out signs. No trespassing signs. We don't put those kinds of things up in our life because we have invited him in. And he must be welcome in every room of our house. Every little closet that we have. Every little bit, a little area which we try to keep so privately for ourselves, Jesus must be invited in. You're not dealing with an individual like another human being. You're inviting in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he has full run of wherever he wants to go. Amen. And not only that, if Christ is going to be at home in our house, he must be offered the very best we have. Whatever it is, whatever we've got, we must offer him the very best. You know, when we go to visit someone or someone's to visit us, we usually offer them the best seats. I went over to David and Jessica invited us over to their house the other day. For dinner, and we graciously took it up on him. He was going to have liver and onions. And anybody has liver and onions, I'd go. I mean, if it's every day, I'd go. But anyway, he was going to have that, knew we liked it, and so he invited us over for dinner. And we was kind of glad Bobby was on vacation because he eats so much when it comes to that. But he invited us over there, and but you know, as we looked around his place and walked around outside, and after a bit went in, Jessica was finishing the dinner and everything, walked into the living room, and David said, Dad, sit down. He offered me his easy chair. David went over and sat down in another chair. He offered me that chair I know means a lot to him. And we was over at Jerry and Cheryl's yesterday, and we stopped in just to see him, glad he's back home and all that, and Jerry offered the easy chair there and got up out of the chair and offered Mom a chair. You know, don't we do guests that way? I mean, you try to offer the best that you have for guests that come our way, you know, whether it's a chair, whether it's sometimes we fix our favorite food, you know, like liver and onions and things like that. When you know somebody's going to come and you fix that favorite food, and you do. When you got guests coming, some important guests that you feel like's important that they come, you try to fix a nice meal, don't you, ladies? Sure you do. You try to do that. I mean, you try to do that all the time, I know. But you really try to just kind of go a little extra when you got guests coming. That's just kind of the way we are. That's normal. We get out our best china, or best dishes, whatever it is, and we get out the best. And we put them out, set them out on the table. Use those kind of things, you know. We put our best out there for our guests, you see. And so, in fact, you see, we look at it as though nothing's too good for them. You know, we've got guests coming, let me say something to you. You're never going to invite anybody into your house or your home more important than the Lord. So when He comes, He is the great, wonderful, powerful God. And we've invited Him into our heart, into our house. And He needs the very best we have. Remember something. He is not only the great, powerful God, He is the holy God. Holy. Amen? He is holy. Wonderful God. Not only that, so because of that, He deserves the very best we have. He deserves the best love that we can give Him. He deserves the time that He deserves, that belongs to us supposedly. He deserves that, to give Him time. Not only that, our talents, they belong to the Lord. We've invited Him in, and He deserves the very best of our talents. You know the old story, one man said one time, A person was young, and they said, you know, when I get older, then I'll serve God. When I get older, I've got a lot of things to do when I'm young. And he said, in other words, you want Christ to have the thorn of your life instead of the rose. You don't want to give Him the best you've got. You want to wait till you're older and can only give Him a few years left, and you want Him to have the thorn of your life, and you want to do all these other things that you want to do, and just give Him the little bit. No, He deserves everything. He deserves our time. He deserves our love. He deserves our talents. And He deserves our money. The very best we have. The Lord Jesus Christ deserves that. So what and who have we invited in to our house? We've invited in the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. We've invited in the Savior, God the Son of God. He's the one that we have invited in to our life, you see. Now let me ask you, have you placed yourself at His complete disposal? Have you let Him rule when He comes in? We're going to talk about that in a few moments. Is He living in your heart? Have you truly accepted Him as your personal Savior? Does He live here in your heart? And if so, when you've invited Him, do you study what He likes and dislikes? If you had a guest come into your house and you knew hated liver and onions, would you fix it? Doubt it. Well, what about Jesus? When He comes into our life and we know what He likes and dislikes, we find that right here in the Bible. Why is it we go ahead and partake of those things that He absolutely dislikes? He deserves our very best. How about the people we invite into our home while He's there? Do we be careful of who we communicate with? Do we be careful who becomes our friends? What about the books on your shelf? Would He be pleased with them? Would He go through that line of books that's on your shelves there in your little library, wherever they may be? Would He be pleased with them? What would He find in your magazine rack? Would He be pleased if He went through your magazine rack and the little papers and the things that you read on a regular basis? Would it please Him? Remember, He's the invited guest. You invited Him in. Amen? So should not we give Him the very best we have? I think that's a very practical and just down-to-earth truth. When Jesus Christ is living in our hearts, in our homes, we ought to care what is there. We ought to look around and say, there's some things, if Jesus was here, He would be displeased with. He wouldn't like them. Well, remember, if you're a Christian, He is there. Amen. He is there. He's in your heart. So what we need to do is offer the Son of God the very best we have. Amen. You'd do that for other guests. And He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. And we have personally invited Him in to our heart, into our house. Have we not? If we're a Christian, we have. We invited Him in, so we ought to give Him the very best. Not only that, if Christ is going to be at home in our house, we've got to make sure that He's wanted all the time, not just part of the time. He's not just somebody who is a guest that comes and goes. He is there all the time. Have you ever, and I'm sure every person in here has said this at one time or another, if you've had it said to you, you know, just make yourself at home. Have you ever said that? You ever had people say that to you? Sure. What do you mean when you say just make yourself at home? What do you mean? Well, you just want them to be at ease. I mean, just act like this is your home. Isn't that what we're saying? Just act like this is your home. Just you know, make yourself at home. Just be comfortable, relax, enjoy yourself. Don't feel like you have to feel awkward here or embarrassed here. This is your home just like it was your home. So just make yourself at home. Well, let me ask you a question. Does the Lord feel that way about our home where we've invited Him in? Can we say to Him, just make yourself at home? Amen. Does He feel like that all the time instead of just part of the time? Or is there things that come around where we would probably not want Him a part of it? Is there friends that we bring into our home? Now, I'm talking about the wrong kind of friends that we associate with. Is there dishonesty going on in our home or in our heart? Is there wrong actions? Is there criticisms or bad language going on? Would He feel at home there? He's there. If you're a Christian, amen? What do you think? Do you think part of the time you'd kind of like Him to be around controlling things and other parts you wouldn't? We want to pick and choose when He comes and when He goes and when He's an important part of the home and when He isn't. I say to you, when Jesus is invited in, He comes in to stay. And He's there. And He's there for as long as you live. So how are we going to treat Him? How about those secret sins that is going on? They may be secret to other people, but they're not secret to Him who lives within us. Do you think He's well pleased with those? Do you think that really pleases Him, that he's really feels at home when those are going on? Amen. So I'm simply saying to you, when we've invited the Lord Jesus Christ in to live in our house or to live in our heart, are there things there going on that would displease the Son of God? Now, He may be in such a home, but let me say to you, He doesn't feel comfortable. Amen? And He wants to feel comfortable in our home, in our heart. Not only that, if Christ is to be at home in our house, He must be made to just feel a part of the family. We really, when it comes down to it, we're part of His family. You know, you don't treat Him like you would treat other people. He's not just a visitor that's going to come and go. And remember something else. He's not our servant. And many times we treat Him as our servant. We don't want Him a part of our life until we run into trouble. And then we say, oh Lord, will You do this for me? And yet the rest of the time we treat Him as though He's just some visitor that comes and goes. We've got to understand that what He wants from us, what Christ wants from us, is our fellowship. He wants our love. He wants our friendship. He wants to be close to us all of the time. Amen. So again, ask yourself, how does He feel in your house? Does He feel comfortable? Amen. Not only that, if Christ is to be in our house, He must be welcome in every conversation. And He must feel like that He's listened to. Listen to me. Have you ever spoke to people who you knew were not listening to you? Sure you have. We've all been there. I remember in a hospital, boy, it taught me something. And we preachers, and you do too, you get things on your mind. Get to thinking about it. My wife and I met another preacher in the hospital. And he was dealing with somebody else in the hospital. He had somebody there out of his congregation. And he said, well, what are you up here for? And it was over, I think it was her mother at the time. Her mother was in the hospital. And so I said, well, Donna's mother's in here, and she's not doing very good. And he said, oh, good, that's good, he said. And it's just simply because he was not listening. And have you ever been there? I've been there. You get so many things on your mind. That's exactly what he said. Oh, good, that's good. He didn't even hear what I said. He didn't mean it wrong. He did not mean it wrong. But what I'm saying is, though, listen, don't you think that if Jesus lives in our heart that He wants to let us hear Him? What He's saying? Don't you think He wants to be a part of the conversation of our life? We talk so much sometimes about worldly things, we can't find time to talk about just the little things of God. We spend our whole life, our mind is just taken up with our way of life and the things that's going on in our life. And because of that, we just can't listen to the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in us. I think we ought to be just a little bit more like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, and the Bible says, listen to His words. I think you'll find out that He's probably more intelligent in conversation than we are. And I think He's got a whole lot more important things to say than we do. And so if He's in our heart, He's in our house, and He's living there, don't you think we ought to listen to what He has to say? Amen? Let Him speak to us. One of the good things, I don't know how you practice it or not, but one of the great things I believe in prayer and communion with God is to not just always be talking even in prayer, but listen. Just spend some time just listening to what He says to you, certainly through the Word of God, but sometimes just meditate on what God would want to say to you that day. Just want to talk with you. Have you ever been out working, or you don't have to be on your knees to have out working and thinking about God, and all at once Him impress your heart and your mind with something? I've done that many. Maybe tell you He'd like for you to go see somebody, or He'd like for you to do something, He'd like for you to do that, and keep this in mind. And sometimes, I don't know all preachers, but that's the way I get sermons sometimes, just simply out, and all at once God brings this thought to my mind, and I begin to think on it and meditate upon it, and He begins to build a sermon out of it, something He's wanting to talk. What if we just never listen to Him? He needs to be a part of the conversation. He needs to be a part of our life, you see. As Mary did, she sat at His feet and listened to His words. Now, all I'm saying to you folks, we're living in an old fast life, busy life. There's not a person out here, I don't care how old you are, don't feel like your life is so busy. And some just you know, it's just going all the time. I mean, just erratic and just going all the time. What's wrong with us? Well, Satan likes us that way, because we don't have time to just stop and meditate upon the things of God. And Jesus lives here all the time. He just lives there all the time. He's there all the time. And we need to listen to Him. We need to welcome Him into our conversations. We need to let Him know we're willing to listen to Him and what He has to say, and take His wise advice. And then also, kind of to sum everything up, if Christ is going to be at home in your house, He no longer has to be considered a guest. He has to be someone much more important than just someone who's invited in to be a visitor or a guest. We've got to recognize that when he's invited in, he has to be the one in control. I'm going to take you to some illustrations in the Bible to show you what happened. In other words, that's the question. Who's in charge of your life? You've invited Jesus Christ into your home. You've invited him into your house. You've invited him into your heart. Now, who's in control? You're him. Who's the one that's going to make the calls? I want to show you over in the book of John, the second chapter. Start reading at verse number 1. Third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And they were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said to him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, I'm simply read the whole story for one purpose. You notice he was invited as a guest. But it wasn't very long he was the one in charge. He was the one saying to the servants, now you fill these water pots. And they did what he said. When Jesus is invited into your heart, you've got to remember something. He's not going to be there just at your disposal to do with whatever you want to do. He's the one must be in charge. You've invited it in. You're not invited in just some guest into your home. You've invited the Lord of Lords in, the King of Kings. And he's received your gracious invitation, and he's come graciously to save your soul. And now he no longer is just going to be some guest that you have. He now must be the one who determines what goes on in your life. Let's use another illustration in Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke 24, verse 28. And these were the disciples, 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus met them, they was walking. So then they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. You see, he didn't go in till he was invited. You understand? And then it says, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, that he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? And once again, you have this illustration. He went into their home. He was invited into their home, but it wasn't very long. He was the one who was in charge. He was the one that was determined. He was the one that was doing the teaching. He was the one that was controlling things. And again, I say to you folks, we must understand, when you invite Jesus Christ into your home, into your house, into your heart, he's the one that must be the most important person, not you or me. He tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now, he waits till he's invited in, but then he takes over what goes on after he's invited in. So I'm saying to you, have you invited Christ into your heart? Have you invited him into your house, into your home? Is he there? He's no longer the resident. He must be the president. Amen? He must be the one that controls what goes on. We've invited him in, and now he must be the one that controls. William Booth was asked this: what is the secret of your life, of the way in which God has blessed and used you? William Booth just responded this way: there came a day in my life when I said to the Lord, Lord, thou shalt have all there is of me, all there is of William Booth. Now, when we come to that day and we realize not only that we are God's children, but that Jesus Christ lives in us, and we must let him have the control, the run of our house, our home, our heart, and we give it willingly to him, will be a great day for us. Now, folks, listen to me. Have you ever received him into your heart? Do you know if you died today, you're God's child and you go to heaven? Are you sure of that? You have absolutely received him as your personal Savior. First of all, check that out. You say, Brother Ross, I know there's a day I saved. Well, let me ask you this. Has there ever been a day when you did like William Booth did and said, Lord Jesus, you can have all of me? There's not going to be any rooms I'm going to hide. I'm not going to put any privacy signs up or keep out signs on any room in my house. You absolutely have full run of it all. That's what he's waiting for. That's what he expects. And why should he not? He's the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Amen. What a wonderful thing it'd be this morning. I believe there's two decisions every Christian ought to make. First of all, to become a Christian, he must make the decision to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Secondly, God expects every Christian to come to that time where he surrenders himself and says yes to Jesus for the rest of his life, whatever God wants him to do. Just consecrates himself to the Lord and says, Lord, I just give you my body as a living sacrifice unto you. And you'll be the one that'll rule our home, our heart from now on. Amen. Now, I'm just going to give you that invitation. Let God speak to your heart. If you're here without Jesus, I want you to walk down this aisle, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right here this morning. If you're here as a Christian and you've never made that decision, never said yes to Jesus, that I want you to be the one that rules my life. I want you to have everything. I want you to control. I want you to be the one that decides. Be a great time this morning. You just come, get alone here at the altar of prayer and say, God, this morning I give myself to you just like William Booth did. I just give it all to you. I want you to have all of me. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for the wonderful grace of God, your goodness and your kindness to us. Thank you for who you are and how great you are. And I ask you, Lord, to take this invitation and use it to thy glory, to do with it as you see fit. If there's any unsaved, I pray for the salvation of that soul. I pray, Father, for we as Christians, if we're holding back areas of our life from you, that this will be this morning when, Lord, we do away with that, and we just let you become everything to us, and you have complete and full control of our life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.